Ég heiti Sóley Kristjánsdóttir og þetta er podcastið að finna taktin. Þema þessar seríu breytingaskeið kvenna. Þessi þáttur tekin upp í Nóa Sirius stúdíói podcaststöðvarinnar.
Welcome to this episode about finding your rhythm in the menopause. With me today is Dr. Rebecca Lewis. She is from the Newson Health Clinic and she's going to talk about the menopause and hormones, and she knows a lot. So I'm just going to like bounce, throw the ball right over to you, Rebecca. Who are we talking to?
Ah, lovely. Well, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. And it's so clever that you can talk in English so brilliantly. I'm afraid my Icelandic is not very good at all, if anything, non-existent, I'm afraid. But so I'll tell you a bit about myself, probably. So I'm Dr. Rebecca Lewis, and I actually was an anaesthetist to start with, and then spent quite a lot of years in hospital medicine, then changed my career to general practice, and then again changed now that I specialise purely in menopause and hormone health, really. And that's been, I've been doing that for the last 8 to 10 years. I'm a good friend of Louise Newson's, and we got together, and she started really getting into the menopause and understanding the terrible misinformation that was out there from the medical communities, from society, from research that was incorrectly done, believe it or not. You know, this sort of level of misunderstanding and myth about menopause. And she really has made a huge difference globally to women's understanding. She has really started a menopause sort of understanding revolution, really. You know, for women to understand actually that this is a significant thing that can happen to their bodies and have health risks. So we got together and worked, just the two of us, and then set up Newson Health Clinic in 2018. And we now see 3,500 to 4,000 women a month with our group of doctors. So we have an enormous clinical experience of how menopause can affect the individual, and it's very varied. That's the whole thing. It's as unique as the person. And it's, you know, I love my job. I love my job because it is, I've done so many things in medicine, very rewarding career. But I have to say, treating women who are on their knees and desperate with symptoms with the right type and dose of HRT is transformative. I have never had that experience so much and so often, how, helpful this can be, how satisfying and rewarding it is for me. So that's why I get up every morning. It's my raison d'etre to carry on and help women and help the understanding about menopause and try and bust some myths if I can.
Wow, that's actually one of the, as I was like preparing for the interview, I was like, how can we bust those myths that are always, they're like so, it's so easy to put life into them again.
Let's do it.
can we just dive into it then? Why are we so afraid of HTR? Why?
HRT, hormone therapy. Well, I think it's because in 2020, there was an enormous study done, the WHI study. It was the biggest study ever in looking into women's health, which we know women's health have been underfunded and under-researched for many decades and still is. And in particular, in women's health, the menopause even more so. But so this was an enormous study.
Was it 2002?
Yeah, 2002. Did I say 2020? I've got my numbers wrong. Visualizing it, 2002. Sorry, the Women's Health Initiative, which was looking at prescribing HRT in older women, actually, and how effective that would be, and whether it would reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. But what happened with this study is that actually the wrong statistics were applied to this data, this wealth of data they had, and they saw that there was a few extra cases of breast cancer, and they were worried about this, so they they don't they dived into the detail a little bit more, and applied the statistics and released the message that actually HRT increased the risk of breast cancer and cardiovascular disease. There were other researchers or investigators part of the study said, please don't release this. We haven't checked it all properly. I'd like to have another check. We need to talk about this. Too late. It had been released to the medical press and the general press. And we probably, those of us, I remember reading headlines, HRT increases your risk of breast cancer, HRT increases the risk of stroke. And so that went into our psyche, and millions and millions of women immediately stopped HRT. The overall, globally, I think there were 30% of women were taking HRT, and it went down to, you know, 10%, although 8%, you know, an enormous amount of women stopped because of that scare. They reanalyzed the data and applied the correct statistics, which they released 2 years later, but that didn't reach public consciousness or understanding, saying actually how safe HRT, that the statistics were wrong. And what we know now is how safe HRT is. Actually, from that study, carried on for 18 years now, we've got the data from that study showing that estrogen only HRT, women who've just been given estrogen, actually had a lower risk of breast cancer, for example. And we know now much more from other studies, and using the more modern type of HRT, where estrogen is given through the skin and progesterone is the natural progesterone and the natural estrogen, this is called regulated body identical HRT, we now know that there has not been shown to be an increased risk of breast cancer. For 5 years, there's been a study showing using the natural progesterone and the estrogen, if it's given through the skin, no increased risk for 5 years. And even going back to the WHI, when they looked at the right statistics, yes, there were a few extra cases of breast cancer in using the old-fashioned type of HRT, which we call synthetic estrogen and synthetic progestogen, which are very different to the modern types we use now. Looking at that old-fashioned type of HRT, there was a very small increased number of cases of breast cancer in those who took estrogen and progesterone. But that increased number was very low. It was less than the increased risk of breast cancer from women who drank 2 units of alcohol every night. That carried a higher risk of breast cancer than the breast cancer with the synthetic estrogen and progestogens. Okay, so that's really important message to get out there, that even if you look at the worst, most old-fashioned type of oral estrogen, synthetic progesterone, they're not unsafe at all, but they're the most risky, and that is still very low risk of an increased risk of breast cancer, less than drinking 2 units of alcohol a night.
Wow, you know, so you could actually just swap out. You could swap out drinking 2 units of alcohol and take HRT and get a better quality of life.
Yes, exactly. But it's only 2 units, which is a large glass of wine, which is not, you know, not excessive. And the other thing is, we don't use that type of HRT. Well, I never prescribe that, really. I prescribe a modern type of HRT. Yeah. Now, we've got a 5-year study showing there hasn't been an increased risk of breast cancer. It's the progesterone component we think is involved. We know is involved if there was a link to the increased risk. So women who've had a hysterectomy just have estrogen only, whether it's the old-fashioned tablet or whether it's the modern body identical estrogens, a gel or a patch through the skin, there's no increased risk of breast cancer. But people who have a womb need to have estrogen and progesterone to protect the womb. So if it's the body identical progesterone, that, as I said, there's been a 5-year study with that type of progesterone that has not shown to be an increased risk of breast cancer. So that's very, very reassuring. Yeah. Whereas people maybe from a generation ago thought, oh, if I take that, I'm going to get breast cancer. The problem is, with these studies being involving women, there will be a rate of breast cancer, because I'm afraid 1 in 7 or 1 in 8, depends what age group we're in, will get breast cancer.
Yeah.
So it's something that women do get because of our sex. And so it's very important to make sure that that's not just an association and not causative, you see. So women on HRT will get breast cancer, but they most likely would have got it anyways, regardless of the HRT, because that actual risk from HRT with the modern type of HRT hasn't been shown to be there at all.
Is it, because it's my understanding that women who are taking HRT and get breast cancer, they actually have a better survival rate.
That's right. You're absolutely
right.
Then
women who don't.
Yes, that's right. And if they do get HRT, they do better. Because of all the benefits of hormones on our body and the other organs and our immune system. You know, hormones go all over the body, as you are aware. It's not just looking at the womb and the ovaries and the breast. Estrogen is vital for our brain function, for our muscles and joints, for our bladder, vaginal health, nerve transmission, immunity. You know, we're knowing much more about inflammation, aren't we? And, you know, having a pro-inflammatory state in our bodies is not good. Inflammation leads to cardiovascular disease, dementia, cancers, many, many illnesses. It's one of the, you know, things that happen. So our immune system is really important for our health, and getting that delicate balance between inflammation, which we need when we have an infection to fight the infection, and not inflammation, as it were, is really important. And estrogen and testosterone really govern that balance very delicately. So we know, you know, from studies that it is it's very helpful and helps guard against that pro-inflammatory state.
Wait, so are we actually on the road to that? Because the approach has been that women or people who go through menopause and have severe symptoms, it's okay for them to get HRT. But I feel like we're moving more towards like women in general and people in general who are going through the menopause, regardless of their symptoms, should actually think.
Push on.
Think about taking HRT just for the overall benefit of regarding your health, like you said, your brain health and your heart health and
I think a number of things to say about that. You know, it shouldn't be just for people who have significant symptoms. Mm-hmm. The problem is, number one, do women know what the symptoms of menopause are? And that is a big question. We've been miseducated. We've been told, it's just flushes and sweats and vaginal dryness and soreness and perhaps poor sleep. That is really all the information that's been out there until Louise has come along, and we've understood much more how it, in those studies as well, to show this, but they haven't been promoted and haven't been discussed, how it is so much more. In our clinic, 97% of women have psychological symptoms of the menopause, and it's usually these symptoms that floor women, really make women have to stop work, relationships split up. You know, the most devastating symptoms is really often the anxiety that increases. I've never really met a menopausal woman that hasn't had a degree of an increased anxiety, and then the severe increase, you know, can be make a woman housebound, can make unable to drive, unable to get out of the house. The mood can often become very low and flat. It feels different from a depression because it does fluctuate. But at this time, for some, sadly, can have very dark thoughts and, you know, even suicidal thoughts. And that's, you know, very upsetting and worrying. The fatigue, the poor sleep, are very impactful on women. So number one, haven't got hot flushes and sweats, because 20% of us will never have them. Not everyone gets them. It's not 100% of us get it. Just because you don't have that, you may have everything else, but not realize this is due to your menopause.
Yeah.
bladder symptoms, vaginal symptoms, not realise that it's all part of the menopause that could be treated very safely if you wish it, if you decide to.
And also like joint pains.
Joint pains, other things, tinnitus, you know, the ringing in the ear, it affects nerve function and how nerves, you know, conduct those messages to the brain. So people might get pins and needles, we call it, in the fingers and the toes, fizzy feeling, or even sciatica can be aggravated by low estrogen and testosterone. We see that, you know, estrogen is made by the brain as well as the ovaries, actually. And in trauma in the brain, estrogen is produced because it helps with the repair process. So it's really important in what we call myelination of these nerves and nerve transmission. So that's a symptom that not everyone may know about. Sore burning mouth is another symptom very common in the menopause. Dry eyes, itching all over, or feeling as if an insect is crawling over you, over your face or arms, horrible, like ants crawling over you. You know, that's another sort of symptom of menopause as well. There are palpitations, really common as well. It's very key. These symptoms, of course, can be caused by other conditions. And so it is important to get that checked out by a doctor. So not just say, oh, that's that palpitation because I'm 47 and menopause or perimenopause is definitely menopause. You have to, you know, discuss that and make sure that it's no other causes as well. But these are very common symptoms of menopause as well. So it's understanding your symptoms, making sure, but you're right, some people don't have many, even though they're knowledgeable, they don't about all the symptoms, they don't have many symptoms. 25% of us may have very mild or not much at all, but 75% of us will have symptoms that affect us, and 25% of those will be severe. But they may not realise they're due to menopause because they've been medicalised, because the medical profession haven't been taught. It's not their fault. They haven't been taught at medical school. I wasn't taught, you know, and no one's really teaching the doctors as well. Apart from Louise, we have, in fact, a confidence in menopause course for healthcare professionals to help them become educated about menopause and its symptomatology, the treatments, etc. But, you know, if a doctor doesn't know that, as they haven't been educated, if you go with low mood, you often get offered antidepressants, which have a place. Don't get me wrong. Very, very helpful medications for depression, clinical depression. But often this low mood is not clinical depression. It is low mood of the menopause. And then when they delve deeper, let's say, okay, so your mood's low, your anxiety is high, your sleep is poor, you're having muscle aches and pains, you feel exhausted all the time, your blood tests are normal, and your periods, what's happening there? Oh, well, they're getting further and further apart, you know, they're perhaps, you know, a bit irregular, whereas they used to be every 28 days, maybe they've gone to 32 days, or and they've got a bit heavier or a bit lighter, there's been a change. So then you start thinking, hang on, could the underlying cause of all these ladies' symptoms be menopause and be lack of hormones? Because we know that the hormones produced by the ovary, estrogen, progesterone and testosterone, are really vital, particularly estrogen we know the most about, going round, every cell responds to these hormones, and these hormones underpin the function of every organ as well. So if we have lost these hormones, which is perfectly normal, perfectly natural in perimenopause and menopause, that's what happens. Our ovaries begin to fail. We run out of eggs. We run out of the hormones that the ovaries produce. And we have relative hormone deficiency. And so that's why we get all those symptoms in every organ, which is why there's so many symptoms of menopause, you know, 40 plus, and we still find more as we continue to work here. So I think the multiple symptomatology is confusing for people, but it's standing back and looking at the whole picture, and looking at the root cause for this, rather than having each symptom selected out and having an antidepressant for mood, painkillers for muscle pains, you know, antibiotics for recurrent urine infections, migraine tablets for migraines. Honestly, so many women are on, you know, in their 40s, and they're on maybe 3 or 4 medications for each individual symptom because no one stopped and thought, hang on, could this all be due to lack of hormones, which when treated at the right dose and the right type, will help all those symptoms I've mentioned.
Yeah, I feel like we're at a place now where at 40, every woman should get like an email from their clinic going like, hi, welcome into your 40s.
Yeah.
This is information you need to have if you feel these kind of things.
I know. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? We've suggested that for the, you know, smear test we have every, you know, every few years, a letter going for there. But the other thing I would say is the Balance app. I don't know if you have you heard of that, Soli?
Yeah.
It's free, so anyone can use it, and you can download it, and you can get a health report. So it documents the most common symptoms there, about I think 24, and it documents your periods and how they're changing in the perimenopause. And you know, you can download that report and take it to your GP in England, and then they can see at a glance, oh, hang on, this lady has got a lot of symptoms of the menopause, because it's called the menopause symptom questionnaire, and they're ticking severe or mild or medium, and I can see at a glance, because there's 3 months documented, her periods have changed, aren't regular, and that gets the mind thinking, hang on, could this be a hormonal problem? The women, no, anyway, usually, because they, with a little bit of guidance, they can tell if they're informed properly about symptoms, about changing in periods. They can often feel something's changed. I'm not myself and my periods have changed. And it's just giving them the correct information. And they can often make the diagnosis that can be confirmed by their doctor.
I feel, though, because I talk to a lot of women, and very often I hear, like, and I very often ask, like, have you listened to my podcast? There you can hear everything about menopause.
And
a 40-year-old friend of mine was like, I'm only 40, Soli.
I don't know.
I think this anxiety is normal. I just started a new job, and I have I have young kids. That's why I don't sleep well. And I'm like,
I have this all the time. I'm a clinic, exactly as you say, Soli. Us women are so used to pushing on and getting on with things that we normalize our symptoms. We say, because I've got the, as you say, we're sandwich generation. I've got the elderly relatives to look after. I've got the younger teenage, perhaps children or younger, who's, you know, demanding a lot of my time. And I've got a career to run. No wonder I'm exhausted. No wonder I feel overwhelmed and overloaded. Yeah. But actually,
And also in your 40s, that's when, you know, you're like often advancing in your career.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you're like getting more responsibility, bigger projects, even bigger
teams
to run.
You're getting to the pinnacle, almost the pinnacle, the peak, aren't you, at that time? And this is the tragedy that women don't realise and normalise it, because they look to their parents and their mums don't know anymore because they weren't informed. So they just say, it's normal, you're getting older. Yeah. So we just go, okay, this is what it is. And
everyone wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning to have a pee.
We do That's not normal. Have to suffer. We do not have to suffer. Like, if I can get that out there, us women, we need to realize that we can take some treatment if we wish it, that we'll. The best at treating is HRT of all these symptoms. Of course it is. It's a relative hormone deficiency. We've lost the hormones from the ovary. All HRT does is replace it with exactly, now we have the body identical, with identical hormones. You know, like if someone had a low thyroid, we'd give them thyroxine. It's a similar analogy. And it really can, as I said, it's the most rewarding medicine if you get the right type, the body identical, and the right dose for that individual. It's tailored to the individual. These symptoms can really be gone for many women, and people are so grateful. As you can imagine, they're sleeping, they're joyful again, they're singing in the car, for example. They feel, because this low mood might not be low enough to, for the woman to think I'm depressed, but it can just be a lack of joy. Everything is very flat. So even if something exciting happens, they can't feel the excitement, the love, the, you know, the enthusiasm, the, you know, the color of life. They can do life. It's okay, but it's gray.
And you maybe like had it, you know, getting like it's gradually happening.
Yes.
So you have like time to get used to it. That's that's my story. That's my personal experience. Like
it creeps
when
up.
I look, when I look back, I'm probably like I probably started around 38 because then I can see my cycle kind of like shortens. There's a change in it. It shortens and like while I was when I was like 41, I was like, it's my cycle. It's only 21 days. That's kind of short. Has it always been that short? I don't know, you know.
No, exactly.
You know?
You're absolutely right. It creeps up on us. It's insidious. It gets slow and we adapt and we see the new normal. It's only when you feel better. All my patients said, oh, I wish I'd started earlier. I hadn't realised. I didn't realise I was perimenopausal, you know, because if you don't have, if you've had a hysterectomy, you haven't got your periods to, or you might be on contraception that stops you bleeding.
So you
have to rely on the symptoms. Well, that's all well and fine. But what if you don't know what the symptoms are? Like the majority of women don't know. They're just thinking flushes and sweats, perhaps. And if they either they don't have flushes and sweats, or if they do, they're so mild, they think I don't have bad menopause. I'm not, and I don't want to take any treatment because it causes breast cancer. Myth.
Yes.
We have to get it back to empowering women to understand what's happening to their bodies, understanding the array of symptoms and how it affects one, and understanding the treatment options and how safe they are.
Can we talk a little bit about, because one of the myths also, like always like getting up again and again is that if you take HRT, you should take as small of a dosage as you possibly can and for as short time as you possibly can. Can you just talk a little
bit about that? I think that's a complete myth. That was really from the WHI study we spoke at the beginning, thinking that it was dangerous before they had reanalyzed, redone the statistics properly. They were worried it was cause a problem. So that's gone now. We know now how safe HRT is. So it's not the shortest and the long, and that is old fashioned now. That's not the case. It's no longer relevant because HRT is now so safe. And actually the other thing we haven't touched on, have we? When we lose these hormones, being the benefits for our organ function, it then becomes quite logical that actually if we lose these hormones and they're not replaced, the organs don't do well without our hormones to help them. So we have a fivefold increase of cardiovascular disease after menopause. We overtake the men. Before menopause, we have a very low risk of heart disease and much lower than men. But after menopause, it goes up by five times. We have an increased risk of osteoporosis, type 2 diabetes, dementia, obesity, and a relapse in serious mental health condition, like a very serious depression or schizophrenia or bipolar, we're more likely to have a relapse when we've lost the protective effect of these hormones in our brains, you see. So it protects our organs in the brain and the lining of the blood vessels, our cholesterol, profile, our glucose handling. So we also need to be aware when we've lost these hormones, we're at a little bit increased risk of all those diseases I've just mentioned. And if we take, research has shown, if we take HRT within 10 years of our last period or under the age of 60, whatever is longer, we halve our risk of heart disease by 50%. It comes down, which is even stronger than a statin for primary prevention in women. So that is a really big plus. We reduce the risk of osteoporosis, and fracture has been reduced by 30% in many studies. So that is reduced. Reduce the risk of diabetes, 30% in certain studies have shown. Obesity, bowel cancer actually in some studies have been reduced as well. So really important to know that if you replace the missing hormones, you reduce your risk of future disease. There's no time limit for taking the HRT. You should have an annual review. You need to make sure that you can have the HRT by seeing the doctor and then having an annual review and getting the right type. I would say regulated body identical is much purer and more physiological and safer, getting the right dose as well. And yep. Those hormones, all three hormones are important: estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like testosterone is.
Yes,
I feel like it's changing though, because it used to be only connected to sex drive.
Correct. Yeah.
And I heard from a conference that you guys had, a doctor put it in the right perspective. It's like it's not even about if women enjoy sex, it's more that they want to have sex, so it's more beneficial for men actually than for women.
That's the patriarchy, isn't it, really, there?
But it's like when you put it in that perspective
we know that testosterone, we know it does improve libido, but not always, because there's a million things that affect libido. If we think about libido, it's about how you feel about yourself. Are you getting enough sleep? Your interactions, you're not too irritable, interactions, you know, with your partner, good. All these sort of things. Do you have vaginal soreness, dryness? That's going to put you off. Or, you know, if you put on weight, all this body image and how you sit, feeling yourself. It's all about libido, and we know that testosterone does improve libido anyway. But it also helps brain function, cognitive performance, we see. Helps concentration, memory, and fatigue. And there are small studies showing that, but they haven't had an enormous study to show that in a, because of menopause research has been underfunded and neglected, unfortunately, by the majority of people. Not everybody, of course. Some people have done good work, but there's not a wealth of evidence because it hasn't been done, and they're often small studies, so that's the problem. But because we have enormous data, we have so many patients that we see. We looked at testosterone in 1,000 patients, and after adding in testosterone, their scores improved mainly for sleep, mood, more interest in things, reduction in anxiety. Those were the top four. And number five of improvement was increased libido. So those four other domains that increased were the more psychological: mood, anxiety, sleep, interest, improved more than the increase in libido. So, you know, we know that, and women tell us, you can trial it for low, we treat it for low libido, and then they may come back and say, do you know, I'm just getting the words better, because that's another symptom, is our memory and concentration is all over the place. Can't get the right words, forget what you're doing, and they feel much more back to their normal selves. So very important hormone, which is beginning to get recognized now, thank goodness. But it's not licensed in many places. It's beginning to get licenses for women in Australia. And there's a campaign to get it licensed here. Hopefully that won't be so long the UK. So hopefully that's going to be a ripple effect, that it'll be licensed for women. But we can still use off license or unlicensed products if there's nothing else available. Discussion with your healthcare professional.
Yeah, it would be very, very nice, because I take testosterone and I have this like 50 milligram pack that I have to put into an injector and kind of like.
That's right. You have to use the male testosterone, because of course it's licensed for men. And use a little bit of it, because what's become apparent by it, we do have testosterone, the same testosterone as men, but 10% of the value, like they have estrogen, 10% of the value that we do. So it is a male and female.
Yeah. Okay. Hérna, can I ask you, because you meant you're like counting up all the benefits of taking HRT on our health.
Yes.
I noticed you didn't say anything about Alzheimer's.
So, yes,
is
that,
still, is it still out, you know, are we still gathering data on that?
Alzheimer's, first of all, 66% of Alzheimer's sufferers are women. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is interesting evidence there. What you're never going to see is a randomized controlled trial. Okay, that means taking women and one set giving them HRT, one set not giving HRT, and following these women to test for dementia. You'd have to start them in their 40s and follow them up till they're 80. I mean, the cost of doing that would be prohibitive.
And the
ethics of not giving HRT to one group would not be allowed.
So that
is always called the gold standard of evidence in medicine, which is all jolly well if you can have it, but you can't often have it for certain situations. So we're never going to see that to prove it. But what we have seen is using the modern type of HRT, the body identical type of HRT, we have seen looking backwards of 300,000 patients. Dr. Brinton, Diaz Brinton, has done a lot of work looking at cognitive performance and has shown a reduced incidence of Alzheimer's for those who took HRT. But that's a retrospective analysis, reduced Alzheimer's incidence and Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis as well. So, you know, that was a positive thing as well. So that's all we can say. We can't say we haven't got a randomized control trial, but we've got really good emerging evidence that this may well be helpful, being as there's no treatment, really good treatment for Alzheimer's. This may be helpful. And we have to share that with women. Women are clever. They understand, look, it's not set in stone. It's not a randomized control trial, which is why some people say you can't, there's no evidence. No evidence does not mean you can't have it. Doesn't mean it's not there. You see?
Exactly.
So it's something that, you know, it's going to benefit your health. It's going to benefit your symptoms in other ways. In emerging evidence that it may well have an impact on reducing the risk.
Mm-hmm. Can we get back to the breast cancer aspect of it? Because you mentioned earlier there are no, like, increased cases of breast cancer. What about, like, because now women are, of course, once women have had breast cancer, they're very cautious and they trust their doctors, and very often their doctor is a cancer doctor who's maybe not
have a lot of knowledge of menopause, because they're very clever and specialist and brilliant at their oncology,
in their field.
And again, they haven't been taught like other people about menopause necessarily. So this is the only place where HRT is difficult, actually, and it wouldn't be a first line treatment for people who've had estrogen receptor positive breast cancer. The reason being is they're often treated with hormone blockers to stop estrogen, you know, levels, or stop the effects of estrogen on the breast, tamoxifen or aromatase inhibitors, which delete the whole body of estrogen, really, because the theory was that if you have estrogen in your body, it might increase your risk of a recurrence. Now, have they looked at this in studies? Yes, they have, but not in great detail. In enormous amounts of studies, but they did. They looked at giving HRT to breast cancer survivors, and there's 25 randomized controlled trials looking at this. And one study called the HABIT study, which is the one the oncologists always quote, did show an increased risk of recurrence after HRT, but they had to stop the trial after 2 years. But there were some problems with that study because, the increased risk of breast cancer occurred after 1 or 2 years of taking HRT, which should have been longer for that recurrence to become visible, really.
Yeah, so there might be another factor.
There's some problems with that study, but that's what it showed. And then other studies have not shown that, have shown a neutral neutral risk or a slightly decreased risk. But it is unsure. We don't know. So this is the risk. It's why people need to be very careful and have a very individualized consultation, because it would not be something is called contraindicated for HRT, but it's not totally contraindicated in some individuals who perhaps are having very severe symptoms. The evidence is shared that we don't have clear evidence that it will definitely increase the recurrence, because some papers have shown that it doesn't. And we know that it will benefit your future health, like I've just said, anyway, because HRT does that, your heart. We've got to think about your heart health. We've got to think about your bone health. We've got to think about your symptoms. So if a person had tried alternatives and, you know, felt, you know, they hadn't helped her, some people they do, some people they don't, and her symptoms are very, you know, severe, it's a shared care decision, and she wanted to trial it, then that's the only occasion that people would use HRT, after shared care decision, careful discussion. It's not a never can use, but it's a caution, and there's some real things to discuss, you know, and on an individual basis, and it wouldn't be, you know, need to be thought very seriously about that.
But what are the numbers with getting it again?
With HRT?
Yeah, like
you can't.
What would be?
We don't
have that information.
It's difficult because they stopped the trial because they thought it was an increased risk. But the number of extra cases were 22. In those who were treated with HRT, something like 22, it was 17, 27, 22 extra cases in those who were treated with HRT. So, but we couldn't say for sure because it was a very short trial. But there may be an increased risk of recurrence if you have HRT, but you also have to think about quality of life and your other health risks. And it's something that, you know, you wouldn't, you know, ideally, time after diagnosis, the type of the grade of cancer, etc., all needs to be thought out very carefully.
Yeah, because that's what you because a lot of women, at least here in Iceland, on this age, like between 40 and 50, are getting diagnosed with, well, I say a lot, but that means like more than you would of course.
Yeah, it's a common cancer. As I said, 1 in 7 of us will get it, but it's 90% cure rate, which is lovely, which is really positive. And stepping back from that, when you ask women what's the commonest cause of death for women, most people say breast cancer, don't they? You wouldn't be surprised to hear that, but that's wrong. The commonest cause of death is heart disease. And cardiovascular disease, vascular disease, stroke, dementia, heart disease, lung problems, breast cancers, right down, very, very low in terms of number causes of death. So we have to think, when someone's had breast cancer, understandably, all the focus is on the breast cancer and recurrence. But we forget that there's a woman behind this who has a heart, who has, bones that may get osteoporotic, the heart might get further, increased risk of heart disease. You know, her likelihood is that she's going to die of a heart problem or a dementia problem, like all of us who haven't had breast cancer. The most common cause of death, it depends which country you're in, but dementia, I think, is the most common cause at the moment in the UK, followed closely by cardiovascular.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so another question in the same area. Women who have the BRCA gene, do you know that?
Yes, BRCA, so they can have HRT. I mean, if you have a strong family history of breast cancer, you need to get that sorted out. And in terms of, if you wish it, to have a genetics appointment to look to see if you do carry genetic changes like the BRCA gene that put you at increased risk, because you know, we know that some cases, very few, not many at all, but some cases of breast cancer are more genetic based, and the BRCA gene is the gene that increases the person's risk of breast cancer. So that needs to be looked at and controlled. And, you know, if someone's carrying BRCA gene, they may have increased surveillance of mammograms once a year, or they may be offered what we call risk reduction surgery, so a prophylactic mastectomy, or taking the ovaries out as well, because they might have a risk of ovarian cancer depending on their type of gene. So that's to one side. But the question is then, can I have HRT? Well, from what I've just said, we can work that out. HRT really doesn't increase the risk of breast cancer to a significant extent. The worst type is, it is, let you know, 4 extra cases a 1,000 women. That's the old fashioned type of estrogen and progestogen. We don't use much in the UK. I certainly never use it. But that's very, very low, that risk. So let's look at the worst case type of HRT. Increased risk would increase the risk of all of us, you know, less than drinking 2 units of alcohol, by the way, but that's the increase, a slight smidgen of an increased risk. But that's no different for them than anyone else. So it's not going to compound their existing risk, if you see what I mean. So you can have HRT. So the answer is, you can have HRT if you've had BRCA, because it doesn't make that risk worse by a significant amount. Okay.
Yeah. So you should just be
like anyone else, really. But you should always check your risk with different specialities about your risk anyway, which is
common. Which you would do anyway.
Which you would do anyway, because your genetics are there. So that's all that says. So you can have HRT. In fact, one study showed that there was a less risk of recurrence of people who did have HRT. One study showing that. So it's fine.
Yeah. Okay, I have actually just one last question.
Great.
Because I have heard from doctors that the contraceptive pills that young women take are very safe, and it's actually recommended that young girls take them.
Rather than HRT, if they're young, perimenopause.
No, not even perimenopause. I just find that they're hormone pills.
Yes.
And then why is it any different with HRT? Why is that then all of a sudden not a thing?
Well, I think there's a number of things to say that, yes, the combined oral contraceptive is safe. You know, it's a safe thing in general. There's always a risk with everything, isn't there? But there's a number of things to say that. Young women can be menopausal and perimenopausal. We haven't touched on that. 3% of the population will go through an early menopause, by which I mean under the age of 40. So in their 30s or 20s, our youngest patient is 14. She had chemotherapy for a cancer on her thigh, and that put her straight into menopause. She'd had 2 periods before then, and then that destroyed her ovaries. So she went straight into menopause. So that's our youngest patient, you know, from a cancer treatment. But other people may naturally just go through an earlier menopause. It may be in their you know, family history or whatever. So it can happen. And a lot of people undergoing fertility treatments may not realise that they perhaps are early perimenopause. So young women can have menopause. That's really another big taboo, a myth we've got to get out there. And the best treatment is HRT at that age. And some people just give them the pill because it's like their peers. If they're 30 and they're on the pill, it's like their friends. But actually, HRT is more effective and more physiological, and I would say safer than the contraceptive pill. It is safer because estrogen through the skin does not increase the risk of blood clot. Body identical progesterone doesn't have the side effects of blood clot as well, for some of the synthetic progestogens do in the pill. I think it's because there's absolute sort of hysteria almost about HRT, and even though we prescribe for women on the menopause, don't realise that they're menopausal, they're on all these medications which are much higher risk, gabapentin, pregabalin, you know, very heavy duty medications, heavy duty sort of psychiatric medications, you know, lithium even, that could be part, you know, could be due to their menopause. So HRT is so safe now. It's one of the safest medicines I've ever prescribed, because the new type I'm talking.
I think
taking out estrogen receptor positive breast cancer patients, you know, the other, you know, it's if a nice guidance said that for the vast majority of women, the risks far outweigh the benefits far outweigh the risks. Sorry, it is very, very safe. Now we have managed to understand that that was a myth, and it really increased the risk of breast cancer. Yeah. We know that, and it doesn't increase the risk of blood clots. So it's fine for people who've got migraines, who are perhaps overweight or on other medications, because it's given through the skin. The beauty of that, it doesn't interfere with the liver or other medications so much. So, you know, I think it's because people don't understand, and they haven't gone through the meds. They haven't been taught properly. So they immediately go, they're busy. Doctors, they say, oh, that's terrible. That, you know, from without actually, we need to really explore and get re-educated about it and how safe it is and how beneficial for our future health it is. Now, I'm not saying every woman needs to have HRT, but every woman needs to have a choice about whether they wish to have it or not and get the right information to make an informed decision.
Because I remember when I was 17, I went to the doctor and I got prescribed a contraceptive pill and no questions asked.
No questions. No,
nobody
absolutely.
Had any opinion on it. Like, nobody was like, oh, my God, are you aware of risks, blah, blah, blah. And then I get HRT and everyone's like, oh, my God, are you aware of the risks? And I'm like, what?
No, exactly. They should be saying both, you know, the contraceptive, I don't want to alarm people. It is a safe option, of course, but, you know, HRT is even more safe. You know,
it's even safer, right?
Yeah. I just don't. I do understand it. It's misinformation and being misguided, and the proof, the level of proof we have to have for HRT is so much higher than other medications. Okay, I dish out as a GP. Yeah. You know, fluoxetine, Prozac. You know, for depression, antibiotics. You know, treatment for irritable bladders. You know, much more side effects and. Potential risks, I'd say.
So well,
very safe.
Okay. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you, Rebecca. And
it's been lovely
thank you
talking
again.
To you. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're at the end of our assigned time. So if we have the time, I would love to ask you to give the women who are listening three takeaways regarding HRT and the myths that we should be busting every day.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Definitely. I think information. Become informed with correct evidence-based information and make your own decisions so it empowers you. And I would say number two, download the free Balance app and there's a community there to talk to people. It's a global app, so people from Iceland will be on there, people from Australia, people from Germany, all over UK to talk, which is nice as a community, people like that. There's a health report you can download. There's access to over 2,000 pieces of evidence-based information that you can understand. You can have a deep dive into something. There are gurus and experts to advise you about lifestyle, because we touched on HRT, we haven't had time for alternatives, but the ideal is to have HRT and look at your lifestyle as well. So you know, we all know, men and women all know, that it's really important to look after our cardiovascular health. So there are gurus on there helping about exercise, diet, nutrition, relaxation techniques, you know, for our mental health, mindfulness. So a lot of resources in all areas. The holistic, what we want to have is the holistic approach, looking after everything. So there's download the Balance app, become empowered, and actually really think about how you'd like to manage your menopause, and don't be frightened of HRT, and be aware of the benefits.
Be aware of the benefits, really like that. So thank you again, Rebecca. It was such time flew by. I can't believe we've been talking for an hour.
Well, it was lovely talking to you, and I've enjoyed it. And I hope that's been helpful for people to listen to.
I'm very sure of it.
Yeah, good.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.